B-Pod Studios.
Opinionated. I do like crushed haddock.
And passionate.
I took a piece of haddock one time and I ran over it with a tire.
More headlines in 30 minutes.
Like a haddock pancake.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think Zell ruined it when he started beating the microphone with the sticks.
Yeah, quick just... fade there. Quick fade. Game one is tonight.
Game of one.
The... Zoe's going to host the rest of the segment.
Oh, no.
Take it away, Zoe.
Attaboy, T-Bone. You know what? You're giving me the wrong answer.
Slippery today? So I can't grip these rubber.
Why are your hands slippery today?
I don't know, because they're like wet today. Some days are not wet, some days are wet.
But... okay, there you go. Those are for you.
Oh, these feel nice. Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
We've it's better. Been requested we take no Top Gun calls because people will spoil it.
No character development or talking.
People will talk about it and spoil something.
You can take calls on it.
Well, they just hung up on both the calls back there.
Oh.
So they killed those callers.
But don't talk about the characters. Because people haven't seen it yet. It ruins it for people. Like, I haven't seen it yet.
I don't know if you guys have heard, but we do have a couple of inactives for tonight. Jeff Van Gundy will not call the game.
What?
COVID?
Oh, he sounded like he had COVID the other night.
He sounded sick.
Jim Lauf texted it.
He's sick as a dog the other night.
Jim Lauf
also,
texted
Woj
it.
Woj won't be there.
What happened
Woj
to him?
Another COVID, huh?
Same COVID?
Thing. Yep.
Hmm. So Breen had
Mike Breen still needs to be cleared.
Breen had it first, but he said he definitely felt like he will be ready to call. I don't understand how you do that if you tested positive for COVID.
Yeah, I don't know how you know what you're going to test.
But Van Gundy faded as that game went on. Jim Lauf put it in our text chain. Guess he sounds like he's got COVID.
Eesh. That sucks. I like Van Gundy on the games.
Yeah, more Mark Jackson. Yay. I hope Breen's the play-by-play guy. Mark Jones, all right.
I don't know. It really doesn't affect me all that much, but I do like Van Gundy. Yeah. All right. Well, Lord knows he'll have enough time off in between games to where he'll be back for maybe even game two.
He could clear twice.
But think about this, like, how much traveling they've been doing, you know? So.
Dave in Winchester. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi.
Quick thing for Hardy.
Yeah.
Glad you took my PSA the other day and made the kids watch the original Top Gun the last day it was available on Netflix.
Yes,
and,
thank you for that, yes.
Second thing I had to ask you, where'd you get that hat you were wearing yesterday? Don't answer me right now because I want to get to my Celtics point. So I called yesterday about, you know, maybe getting more shooters on the floor, and I think it was probably unclear. I don't want Marcus Smart off the floor. But what I was saying is maybe we could get more shooters in the floor due to the lack of size of that. So he's not taking, like, and, you know, we want, you know, they double team Tatum. Jaylen Brown should be the guy coming over. It was clear that Spoelstra was absolutely leaving Smart open to be a bricklayer with the threes. So that was my Peyton Pritchard point. To maybe get him in somehow.
And what's smarter on the court though? So then it's like you're leaving Al Horford out there. So it's going to be Grant Williams or Peyton Pritchard you put in that spot then, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe. So maybe take. I don't know. I'm just saying. Like I'm talking about end a game when you're trying to close it out. Type of situation.
I know. If they haven't been in, you're going to put Pritchard in cold and expect him to hit shots? I don't love that either. It was a Travis Matthew hat. Somebody asked me yesterday. That's the one. I already tweeted out a link to it yesterday. Look at my Twitter feed at Hardy Radio. You'll see.
Like a hat with a piece of chocolate on it.
That's exactly what it was. It's an edible hat. Hmm. Yep. A little Ghirardelli chocolate right there in the middle.
Or just got to start doing an OOTD, outfit of the day.
Amy in Bridgewater. Hello, Amy.
Hey, guys. I got a couple points. So the last caller just touched on it a little bit, but I disagree with the caller earlier. I said last week, I'm Marcus Smart 100%. He's the heart and soul of the team. He's the scrappiest player we have, and he's the best flopper we got. But I want to know whose job it is to tell him to stop taking those threes. When we were up by 10, 13, whatever it was, Sunday night, I was working, so I was trying to pay attention to the game. And he was missing. I was never comfortable with that lead. It's like, go for the two, try and get the foul. It's a guaranteed 2 points because we were not getting the rebounds on those threes. It makes me want to jump out of my skin. The other caller was like, I'm totally comfortable with his ball handling. I love him so much, I'm never comfortable when we're in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left. I am maybe in the second or the third quarter, but never that. My other comment I want to make is, the past few weeks I've been hearing everybody saying, oh, the Celtics are doing such a good job. Like, they have all these young players, you know, the next few years, they got these championship teams. No, our time is now. We've worked too hard in these last two series. These guys are going to win this championship now. They are too good. They have worked too hard. This is their series to win.
I like their chances, but listen, as much as you may not like Marcus taking those shots at the end, that's not my biggest pet peeve with this team. It's allowing the offensive rebounds and the turnovers that the Celtics commit. And the points off turnovers is what killed you in at least one of those games against Miami. You can't turn the ball over, and you can't allow the opposition to get their own rebounds when they're in your end of the court.
Which Rob Williams, when healthy, is a big factor in that department.
Well,
when healthy.
All the more reason to play him tonight.
When we had Brad Stevens on, we always asked him about the open shot. Like, who designs this? Do you okay the guy? He said, the open player takes the open shot. We will never question a guy for taking an open shot, a good look. I don't know what Ime's philosophy is, but I think it's probably...
Oh, I bet it's pretty similar.
It's pretty similar. Here's where Ime can light his ass up. You grab him and you say, what are you doing launching a three with 11 seconds left on the play clock?
11? They're 18. I mean, he's taking shots.
They were in kill clock mode there, too, because you saw Tatum with the ball at the point. And he's looking at the clock, and he's waiting, and he's backing guys off. He's like, nope, 10, 9. Now I'm going to start dribbling. Like, they're already in that mode, and that's kind of why things got tight for them.
You know, to Amy's point about this is their series, this is their time, I think what she's been responding to is there are people who are saying they got to win this series because they may not get back here. I think maybe T-Bone or someone here had mentioned
this
a short time ago. You don't know when they're going to get back here. If that's the attitude, that's really disappointing about the Celtics' future because you're in the NBA Finals and you've got a young roster. Your core is in their early 20s.
Yeah.
I don't understand that line of thinking. I don't understand either the reasoning, and I sort of hate it and think that if that's the case, then this is what, some sort of fraud team that only got there because of the Nets playing as poorly as they did and Chris Middleton not playing for the Bucks and Miami being banged up, which they were in the series. I mean, what does that say about this team if you feel that way?
You could say that about a rogue team, a flash in the pan that gets there, but they've been in the conference finals for the last 6 years? They've sort of been knocking on a door to begin with. They've now taken that step. Now be that maintainer. Be that team that I'm going to be the one that's going to be there every year. Circles on our back.
Yeah.
Targets on our back.
I'm with you, Beetle. Dream bigger than that. This is the NBA. This is not a you go there once and then you got to kind of retool and refit and see if you can get back there again. No, you can be in the mix and a legit contender for 2, 3, 4 years if you've got the right team. And with the young core, why can't this be the start of their multiple runs at a championship?
Where would this Celtics team winning it all rank among unexpected titles in this town in terms of you didn't see it happening and then it did? Are they ahead of schedule? Is it unexpected? Those sort of things. Mm. What's it going to mean if the Celtics are to win this series? Sort of a big picture thing that we've got to do before the series begins, because once it begins, it's not as fun to talk about. We'll do that coming up next. More of your thoughts on the Celtics. Hang around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Your question, does that attract the female or the male?
Bertrand.
That seems unlikely just based on you don't think a turkey can go that fast.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
When the other night Jason referenced how people had mentioned that maybe it was a good idea to split, or, you know, Jalen and Jason and maybe trade one of them, and Jason had mentioned that instead of fracturing, you guys became closer. I wanted to know how that happened, and what about both of your personalities allowed it to happen?
To be honest, I'm not really sure. I think that we've been able to win in our career, you know, before. Last year, obviously, things didn't work out, et cetera, for other reasons. But this year, I didn't feel like it was because of the way we played basketball. I just think that they didn't come together at the right time. Like, early on in the season, I was injured. I missed about 15 games. And, you know, the narrative isn't going to say that. They're just going to say that you guys lost. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. We had a first-year head coach. We were trying to figure it out. And, you know, we play in a city that it has no patience or no for any excuses. So we didn't make any.
We're watching UCLA, Texas.
Real hitters, softball. Milliken.
Softball at the moment. Maya Brady, niece of Tom Brady, is at bat for UCLA.
Yeah, number seven.
Number seven. That's her.
That is her.
Yeah. Well.
Or do you want to take a seat? Or
it's a tremendous sport, isn't it? Softball's awesome.
Fast pitch, yeah.
Well, yeah. Collegiate softball. No, not
beer. Not beer slugging, no. Jim Louth.
College Warwick. Level softball is a
Thursday night
is a great is sport.
Right.
It really is.
Brady was gushing about his niece last night during the match there. Like, afterward, talking about how, he used to joke when he was growing up, my sister's, you know, when I grow up, you're going to just be known as being Tom Brady's sisters. He said, now we're all just known as, like, Maya's aunts and uncles. Like, that's, you know, she's great. Now, how much he loves it. Like, he knows the game. He knew what was going on. He said they were all going today.
Wow. Well,
game.
She's on a hot streak. Hits in 10 of her last 11 games.
Great uniforms. UCLA has always had the best uniforms.
And she had a sophomore slump. She did not have as good of a year this year as she did last season.
Oh, there's
going
a poke.
The other way.
That's a poke.
That's warning track power right there.
Ooh.
Yep. That's the third out of the inning. They get out of it scoreless.
Speaking of uniforms, T-Bone adds information on the Celtics. Game 5, they will be wearing the black uniforms, but the other games, they're wearing the green and white. So just the regular uniforms, the other ones, for whatever reason, Game 5.
Which they don't call home and road anymore. They all have names.
It's weird.
They all have different names.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm not a fan of the
Legacy Edition or something.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the like double, the double stitch one where it's like kind of shadow boxed and it's got the long pants on the leg or the long stripes on the leg. I don't like that one.
Yeah, so games 1 and 2, they wear green. Games 3 and 4, they wear white. That's what you got for the first four.
Okay.
Home game in game 6, they would be wearing white again. Mm. Home whites.
They will be, not would be.
If necessary, game 6, whites.
I noticed you said only the first four.
They
if necessary, game 7, they'll be wearing the regular green Rome road uniform. That's what it would be.
Would it be something they
used to call it?
They win in 5.
That.
They win in 5, but they close out the series and become the champs in those awful black uniforms. I'm not a fan of those.
All right. So when it comes to unexpected Boston sports championships, yep. There are two that I think of, and this would be a third. The other two, and this is why I bring it up. Am I missing any? Would be the 2001 Patriots.
Yep. That's
was
one.
Unexpected. The 2013 Red Sox.
That's my number one.
Was unexpected.
That was the bombing year, right?
And
a team that was supposed to be putrid.
A team that was not good.
Not a good baseball team.
Johnny Gomes helped you.
But ended up not being putrid and were pretty good that year. And you thought during the season they probably could have won a championship.
I don't remember talking championship during that year.
Well,
with them. Like it was.
I mean,
yeah.
How many teams? How many teams make it to a championship that you think are bad at any point in the year?
Celtics.
Okay,
that's
so
a good point.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like you thought the Celtics were not good at the start of this year, and they, you know, proved otherwise. You know, starting 3-4 months ago, the Red Sox. It was supposed to be a bridge year. It was supposed to be a rebuild year. So nobody was expecting that. At least the Celtics started the season with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. So, okay, how bad could they possibly be? Now, they ended up being a little bit worse, but they found it. That Red Sox team in 13, I'm sorry, just nobody thought.
Nobody did.
Now, they will tell you otherwise in the aftermath. We told you in spring training this team had the yeah. Everybody says that. But nobody really thought that. They didn't construct the team that way.
I think to go back to that year, you had like two sure bets on the team, and it was Ortiz, Pedroia, I guess. Is that it? You know, I don't think anyone was looking at Mike Napoli as being a big impact player. We certainly weren't looking at Johnny Gomes as being capable of contributing in huge moments.
Yeah, it was a lot of like one-year contract guys.
Yeah, Shane Victorino, right? Like where did that come from?
Napoli almost didn't even land here. He had the whole hip issue and his deal fell through and they had to restructure it.
So I get it. That one was entirely unexpected, but I think you're kidding yourself if you're forgetting how unexpected 2001 was.
Of course.
Here's the thing. In baseball, you do sort of see fluky winners or things break a team's way or they play above what they would if you kept the same team together for 2 or 3 years. The sport of football, we like to believe that if you get all the way to the end and win it, you had to be one of the best teams, mm-hmm. right? And so to be one of those best teams, I think is pretty difficult. And coming from what they were at 5-11 the year before, no one in the start of the season of that year, I mean, that was entirely unexpected too. It's hard to pick one out of 0-1 or 13.
Well, not only that, in 0-1, okay, you get there, but once you're there, you're not going to win.
I mean, right. Oh, wow, they got there.
Huge favorite in that game.
Everything was so improbable about that run.
Yeah.
You can make the case, David Ortiz, you've got one of the best postseason players of all time on your team in 13. It's not like you don't have guys who have been there or have won it. You had Lester on that team. Mm-hmm. You had Ortiz on that team. You had Pedroia on that team. There's some pieces that had been there and done it. And I don't think that was the case. But here's what I will say. It just proves this. If the Celtics win this, it's going to rank third behind both of those.
Yeah.
Because this team has been to the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times.
Yeah.
And now they will have gotten older and matured a little bit and broken through. And even though it will be wildly unexpected based on the way they started the season.
And
how the end of last season happened and the changes in the front office, the changes in the coaching, all of it. I mean, it is very much an unexpected an improbable run, but I still think we've seen more unexpected and improbable runs.
And it's, but it doesn't make it less impressive when you factor in, like you just said, Beetle, the changes in the front office, the changes with the head coach, the fact that you had to get through Brooklyn and the defending champions. It's impressive. What are we looking at?
Zoe and I are wildly distracted by some footage of someone who is banging a trade table.
What is this?
Can we go back to that? What are you doing, Fowler? Put that back on the screen. You're going to distract us like that and then take it away.
Maybe he's testing things out.
Who is that guy?
Is that a Golden State?
Is he like an...
We're moving on.
Why are we moving on?
We're moving on.
I can't show live footage on NBC.
Are we looking at...
we're in the middle of a discussion.
No, this is a better one, though.
No, this is much better than what we're talking about. Well, look at that. Ooh, it's going to be... ooh, gold out night there.
All right, so they're draping the seats at the arena with T-shirts that say gold blooded instead of cold blooded.
I get it.
Cold blooded.
Because... it's the color of the team, but they're also the Golden State Warriors, so it's like a triple meaning.
Yeah, and is that's a nice play on words.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Gold blooded.
Well, now I'm gonna pick the Celtics in five.
Yeah,
I didn't know about the gold blooded.
I didn't
t-shirts.
Know about that setup.
I'll give game one to Golden State. I didn't know about the t-shirt.
Well, we're looking at some of the arena workers, and there's one particular worker who's got a set of drumsticks in his hand. And he was sitting at half court in the arena.
Playing like an old grandma, grandpa tray table.
Drumsticks on a tray table. And I'm just sort of curious what the hell that was all about.
We don't know.
I mean, not working, just banging on the drum all day, huh?
If they, right. If they, oh my God, if they have that song there, and they use it, that'd be bad.
Hard getting a consistent sound out of this toy drum.
Do you want the platera?
The player.
How about some headlines? We'll do the headlines. We'll come back and get your thoughts on that. Unexpected Celtics championship. Now in five, according to Hardy, not four, after he saw the T-shirts that will be waiting for the fans who have tickets to game one tonight. We continue with your thoughts next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Rigmarole.
I don't think I can say it.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
But money don't wiggle, wiggle. Don't jiggle, jiggle. Come on, Hardy, you're missing it.
Play the words.
Hey. No.
Hey.
You're going to guess him.
I still can't believe that. I went back and I never thoroughly researched what that one TikTok song meant. The one everybody does with the kids.
Yeah, I told you that it had a lot of swears in Russian.
I didn't know it had the type of swears.
That's why they started editing it on TikTok.
The type of swears that you didn't tell me it had.
I didn't know exactly what it said. I just knew that it was bad.
Right.
What did... well, we can't talk about it now, but was it bad? Yeah,
that is bad.
That's a bad one, right?
Real bad. Like, all the kids are doing. I'm like, no, we're not doing that anymore. Mm-mm. Nope, stop that one.
No, now we're saying my money don't jiggle, jiggle, it folds.
Yeah.
I'd like to see you wiggle, wiggle. Mm. You know?
Just do the maybe? Applebee's one. It's just simple. For cute.
What does it say? That's the next line. I don't know what it is. And then the next one's, I'd like to see you dribble, dribble.
I bet. Dribble, dribble.
Yes, that. Ben's in the truck. Hi, Ben.
Hey, love the show, guys. Nice. You're definitely the best.
Yep.
Hey, just to go back to Game 7, I've heard a lot of talk against Miami. I heard a lot of talk about the last 3 minutes, and rightly so. But I haven't heard very much about the first quarter and how the Celtics came out purposely just pushing the ball up the floor. And the fast break game, it was great to watch. And just wondering if you think that's something they can do against the Warriors.
Yeah, and that was their bigs. Tatum was part of that. Tatum going to the bucket, like for the layups. Him, Derek White. Derek White was a big part of them pushing stuff early. I thought his shots that he hit early in that game, yeah, jumped out to that lead. That's why he had the lead.
John and Stoughton has something for Hardy. Hi, John.
Hi, John.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
So, I love your show. Thanks a lot for all you guys do. I thought this was a fun fact for Hardy.
Okay.
I just picked his neighbor up, Kerry. Gave her a ride. I'm a Lyft and Uber driver on the side.
Oh, sure.
And I never knew where he lived. I grew up in Canton.
Oh, nice. So now he knows. You know where Hardy lives, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Well, anyway, I wanted to let him know that it's just a little fun fact. Uh-huh. Behind his property,
fun facts. Yeah.
In the woods.
That's where the turkeys are.
There is an aquifer. It's an amazing, amazing natural thing.
I didn't know if you were aware of it. What is an aquifer?
Yeah, what is that?
It's basically a natural way for the earth to filter the groundwater. And what happens is, if you're looking at it like a meadow or a pond.
So I could go down there and drink it.
Yeah, you could. But
it's hot.
You basically just see the water bubbling up. There's no bubbles, but the water pushing up in the out of the center of the little pond or meadow. It's an amazing thing. Just wanted to let them know that.
Okay, I'll have to go look for that. I've heard stories about what's going on behind the woods there.
How do you say that it was an aquifer?
I thought it was an aquifer too.
My grandpa.
Aquifer.
My grandpa used to take me for a ride down by the river. And he'd always fill up his car with empty water jugs. I'm like, where the heck are we going? He's going to go get spring water. And we'd walk in the woods, and there was this place where, like, people had this man-made rocks built out, but there was this pipe coming out, and it was running water. Okay. Just good spring water, but, oh, man, it tasted good.
Well, like an aquifer. Like, that's
what, is that Hardy has?
That's what was under Las Vegas, which is why they were able to build it there in the first place.
Oh.
And then they drained it. And they used up all the water.
Are you going to go home and say, hey, kids, let's go outside
and that's
and
why
see the
they
aquifer.
Then had to build the old big Hoover Dam there.
So there's one of my neighbors who's told us the story about a team of oxen that was back in those woods back in the day, to which we all said,
back in the day when?
How old are you? And he's like, I don't know, a team of oxen got stuck back there and died. I'm like, oh, so it's like the ghosts of dead
ox.
Back there in the woods behind the house.
You ever eat oxtail?
The candy.
Wait, is that what a group of them is called? A team?
Yes, a team of oxen.
A crew.
A balloon. A bobble.
Wayne is in Lakeville. Hello, Wayne. Wayne? Going once. Going twice. Wayne, you there? No. Wayne's subject line said, NBA refs will determine the outcome of the series. I asked Hardy jokingly off the air yesterday. I said, which game is going to be the ref game? Which game do you think the Celtics fans will blame the refs for the outcome? How deep into the series will we need to go before that happens?
I said a home one. I was wrong. I disagree. I think it's going to be an away game that the Celtics fans will bitch about. There's going to be a game you lose on the road. Like, oh, it's because the refs did.
Well, let's There is going to be at least one game, maybe multiple games in this series, that have horrific game-changing calls. That's a given.
Yeah, that's the NBA.
It's going to happen.
And we're going to get stuck with another one of these games, like we saw in Game 6, in which the refs really liked blowing their whistles and stopping the flow of play.
Yeah.
Man, was it a ref show in Game 6.
Yep.
That was horrific. That is ruining the product. It was so bad. And the Heat had two players foul out in that game by the end. That was awful officiating in Game 6, which just ruins your enjoyment of watching a game at a high level at the end of the season.
And takes
brutal.
Away,
and I don't think that it hurt the Celtics in that game.
No, but it also takes away your an appreciation for your team and your good feeling about it if they end up winning one of those games. I'm not saying the Celtics are going to get screwed by the officials. They might be the benefit of some awful calls. Couldn't you see them like turning on Draymond Green at some point in this series and deciding that some of his fouls are flagrants when they're really not?
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's going to happen. You just have to be able to recognize it for both teams when it does happen. Otherwise, yeah. You lose your mind. You can't. If you lose your mind about the officiating in the NBA, you can't watch it. You have to somehow just put it aside.
And Zach Zarba was one of the officials in Game 6. So Zarba, Lewis, Kirkland were the three refs in that game. The two-minute report following that game was something. The two-minute report after the game had two uncalled three-second violations on Bam Adebayo, two fouls on Derek White that should not have been called, an uncalled travel on Jason Tatum, an uncalled Celtics five-second inbound violation. That was just the two-minute report at the end of the game.
Don't you feel like the three-second call when it happens? God. It's like, how often are you guys actually watching for that?
So it's amazing that they missed all those calls and still had all the whistles that they had in that game.
Right. They called Jaylen Brown for a walk the other night. I couldn't believe they called him for it. Well, Jaylen Brown walks more than when he gets called for it. Like, they called him for the walk. He didn't walk.
But at least
there are other ones he walks that he never called.
But the thing with the walks, though, is they're watching the guy with the ball. At least one of the officials is watching the guy with the ball anyway. When they call 3 seconds either way, like, oh, I guess I didn't realize you guys were actually watching and counting and keeping track of that. And I don't think they are. Yeah. I think it just went, I'm supposed to be watching for this, too. And every once in a while, they'll blow a whistle for 3 seconds. How often does it happen throughout the course of a game?
Rarely.
The one the Beatles just mentioned, they said, at least two that we know of. We should have called it twice on Bam. I don't know.
Ime Udoka on agreeing with Steve Kerr on experience. Your calls are next. We'll talk to Sean Grandy, play-by-play voice of the Boston Celtics, getting ready to call yet another NBA Finals with the Celtics in it. It's been a little bit since Sean's been able to do that, but he's going to take a couple of minutes with us coming up at 1 o'clock, so stay tuned for that.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Used to have the trainer slap him before every game.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Slap me, come on. Slap me harder.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I think once you get out of the initial media circus and the intensity and how everything is much more exaggerated, obviously it's not much different when you get on the court. We have guys that are young but have been through a few Eastern Conference Finals already, and then our path this year, you know, two game sevens and playing some high level teams and taking a tough route. I think that's prepared us more than anything. I coached in two finals my first 2 years in the league, got to a Western Conference final as a player myself. And then we've had other coaches who have been through it and, you know, and won championships as well. And so we can kind of give our advice on what's to come. But once we get out there, I think what's really been good about our group is they're not caught up in the moment. The game sevens, playing on the road, you see our record. And for more so than anything, it's just basketball. At the end of the day, that's what we try to stress. And I think that's the benefit of our group being so young and approaching it that way.
Ime Udoka talking about the team not getting caught up in the big moment. Agreeing with Steve Kerr that, I guess, because of his experience, the team's not inexperienced. Steve Kerr was all over the Celtics, heaping praise on them this week, but how the experience didn't matter.
Oh, he talked about Brad, like to the end of it. He's like, oh, what a job he's done moving over to front office.
My gosh.
He was a coach, and how hard he had these guys playing.
Yeah,
this is the Lou Holtz treatment, baby.
I mean, if you're Udoka hearing that, you're going to be like, yeah, no, of course. No, we're not nervous. We're not nervous, and are you? Our inexperience doesn't matter. He's
nobody,
right.
Nobody admits being nervous ever.
Right. No one's going to admit to that.
Anxious. I'm not nervous.
I do think that Steve Kerr was feeding into whatever it is that exists with this team about not being able to follow up when winning with more winning right away.
Yeah.
Right? They've had to be pushed into the corner. They've had to have their backs to the wall to play their best in this run. And I think anyone who's watched them knows that, and Kerr probably knows that. And probably knows it's going to be tough for the Celtics to win game one. Oh, they're inexperienced. Oh, no, please. They're basically just as experienced as we are. That's how it sounded with Steve Kerr this week. We'll talk to Sean Grandy, voice of the Celtics, coming up in 5 or 6 minutes. Let's get to your calls between now and then. And we will go to Matt, who's in New Hampshire. Hi, Matt.
What's going on, guys?
Hey,
I just wanted to talk about Marcus Smart really quick. You know, obviously, Toucher Rich pointed this out earlier this morning. Like, way too many shots in games 6 and 7. He's got to be way more of a distributor, distributor than a shot maker going forward for the Celtics to have a chance. The only thing I just want to say, too, is I really enjoy the bang the drums. I'd like
Thank
to see
you.
That keep going. So let's bang on some drums. Let's do that.
Gotten us this far.
Good. T-Bone's a big fan of it, too.
And that was Rich this morning. Fred wasn't in. So just clarify on that one.
Need a little more volume. I think Beatles having trouble hearing the backbeat.
You know what I noticed about that thing?
What?
There's a nice spot on there, two spots where you can put a
Oh, a strap.
A strap.
You want me to bring the strap in tomorrow?
And yes. You could, Beetle, you could stand and like beat it under your drum like that.
It's kind of like when you go to the islands on vacation, they come through the breakfast buffet and they're doing like, you're just sitting there trying to eat, your French toast.
I love that.
Whoa, what's this?
I really wish we had a steel drum, though.
We can make that work.
Feeling hot.
Scott once did. He banged on the mug all day.
Yeah.
I bet that would be a tough thing to find, like, in a moment's notice. Like,
for
if
us,
we,
yes.
If we said we wanted to go out and bring in a steel drum for tomorrow, I bet that would take some time to find one.
We have a... We have an outstanding listening audience. We have listeners on the app, on the smart app, on the smartphone. We have people in a regular radio, terrestrial radio listen to us. We have people within the Boston area. Some of you are musically inclined, obviously, with our great musical segments that we do. If you know anybody that has a steel drum, it doesn't have to be a big one. It could be one of them little fake ones that Hardy, it's a trinket that you buy when you get off the boat.
Wow!
Great job, T-Bone.
If we could get this somehow, just for the next week, that we could have the steel drum that we could also incorporate into our band.
We're not going to be able to play it like that.
The bus is a jerk.
That's nice. I almost think we should just play this version.
I kind of like that.
Okay. All right. Steel drums, not cheap, Hardy.
$225?
Yeah.
$250?
Yes.
We don't want to buy one.
And there's a used one here for $170 on Guitar Center, but...
But I believe it's also that one that's used is in Ohio at the moment. Mm. Yeah. The pink one? It's in Ohio. Zach's in Nashua. Hey, Zach.
Hey, I just think Marcus Smart and Steph Curry is almost like the matchup of the year. What do you guys, what's your thoughts on that?
Matchup of, I don't know.
Marcus Smart, who do you think has like, I just think Marcus Smart can cover Steph Curry, no problem. And I think that's going to be a big factor of the series.
There you go. Wipe him out, negate him, and then
yeah, win. I mean, it. If he it's just simple. Was going to be the only guy covering him, but that's not going to be the case. I think on possessions and shots where Marcus Smart is covering him, that could be a win for the Celtics, sure. What?
That's just
take care of him, piece of cake.
No problem.
No worries whatsoever.
No problem.
Smart's out there, basically Steph Curry non-factor. Kevin and Douglas, hey, Kevin.
You guys are the Marcus Smart of drumming.
Oh.
Inconsistent at times,
but not afraid to take the big shot.
I like that. I like that. Or, listen, don't care about higher authority, and we don't listen to people when they tell us not to do stuff.
What a great comp.
I'm so sick of people starting this. I love you guys. Every day, my wife and I love you guys. Everyone started with Marcus Smart. Can I ask a question? Kind of. Don't you think, who do you give the coaching advantage to? Not in late game, but I think both these guys are very similar. They bring a quiet confidence. I love the way that, unlike Brad, Udoka calls guys out subtly in his presses this year. He brings something to this team that I think is the X factor that should have got him coach of the year.
All right, I'll tell you what, Kevin, we're going to talk to Sean Grandy about that. We're going to ask him what you just asked, and we'll do that right after these headlines. Stay tuned.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.